What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Washington Wizards and going through my NBA draft preview. We're going to be talking about a plethora of things, Ace Bailey, Sly, and possibly falling to the Wizards at six, my big board for number six, number 18, options at number 40, possible trade up and trade back scenarios and spots for the Wizards, all the latest reports and buzz that I'm hearing and that others are hearing about the draft, and all of that and more in this episode. So my goal with this Wizards NBA draft preview pod is for you to come away from it knowing everything you need to know entering Wednesday's round one and eventually Thursday's round two. And so when you're at your draft party or you're watching the draft with your friends and they say, hey, man, who do you think the Wizards should take at six, or who do you think there is going to fall to six? And you sit there and you say, you know what? You know, ideally, a guy like Trey Johnson with a shot making, shooting 40% from three at Texas falls to the Wizards, or maybe a VJ Edgecombe, a really athletic wing, falls to them. But I doubt that happens considering Philly's interest in Edgecombe at three and, you know, Charlotte's interest in Johnson at four. So, you know, maybe Knipple goes top five and then the Wizards are sat there and you got Ace Bailey out of Rutgers, a really good score. A very high ceiling, but could also, you know, not pan out in the NBA. You got Jeremiah Fear, shot 28% from three at Oklahoma. Some people don't think he can shoot, high turnover rate, but he can get by anybody you throw in front of him, led Oklahoma to the tournament. So I think it's probably going to be between both Bailey and Fears, and we'll see what they do there. And then your friend sat there and says, oh my God, like, how do you know all that stuff? You're a genius. And you don't even have to cite me. You can just say, you know what? I know ball. And that's fine. You don't have to say you learned it from the Wizards podcast. But you'll know deep down inside that you did learn it here, and hopefully that is the goal of this episode, that you gain that type of valuable insight into what the Wizards are thinking when it comes to the number six overall pick. So without further ado, I want to start the episode by talking about some of the recent draft buzz, kind of going through a plethora of different reports so that you guys are updated with everything that the general public at least knows. And again, these are reports. These guys aren't necessarily there with these teams. So again, not saying that it's all correct or true, but it all, you know, it's all from credible sources that I've kind of pulled into one big pile of reporting. And I'll start it here with everything that's happening with Ace Bailey, because I think that's kind of the story of the draft right now. You know, Flag will go one, you know, unless something crazy happens, Harper will go two. And you can kind of start to fill it out from there. But where Ace Bailey goes is really going to dictate the temperature of this, you know, top five, top six of the draft. I put out another shorter pod the other day. So if you really want to deep dive into everything that's happening with Bailey and how he could potentially fall to the Wizards, you can go to the latest video on the channel or the last pod. It's about 21, 22 minutes of me just diving into it. But I'll give you a refresher if you missed that episode. Essentially, Ace Bailey is the only U.S.-born prospect that is yet to complete a pre-draft individual workout. You know, he, for whatever reason, and I think it's from Omar Cooper, who is his agent. Apparently, he's a guy that might not be giving the best advice, but he's in his ear basically telling him to cancel the pre-draft workout that he had with the Philadelphia 76ers last minute. ESPN reported that Bailey has refused to work out for several teams in his, you know, draft range, which I can surmise as being anywhere from three to six, and maybe it stretches to seven and eight as well. But, you know, that probably means that he's canceled already with Philly, but you know, maybe refuse to work out with Utah. I saw a report today that he refused to work out with the Jazz and possibly the Hornets, maybe even the Wizards and Pelicans and Nets and stuff like that. But some of those teams, you know, he's definitely apparently refused to work out for. So it's a very, very weird draft strategy. Apparently he wants to stay on the East Coast. He wants a proven pathway to development and to stardom, which I would expect to be the Wizards in that, you know, area. You know, if you want to play NBA basketball as a rookie, you want to play heavy minutes as a rookie, you know, look no further than the Wizards, because three of the top five rookies from last season in minutes played in total, minutes played per game basis is the right stat. Three of those five rookies were on the Wizards last year. You know, Bub led all rookies with 30 a game. Sar was second, and then George was fifth. So if you want, you know, to be on a team where you're going to play heavy minutes as a rookie and you're going to have a proven pathway to stardom and to development, why would you not want to go to the Wizards? You know, the Nets obviously make sense too. And I've seen reports, especially from Troy Halliburton, that suggest Bailey would like to play for the Nets as well. I don't know why Utah wouldn't be that as well. I know they have a bunch of young guys already and they have Markkanen and all, but they still would give him good minutes. Charlotte probably as well, although they do have Miller. They took Saloon last year. They have LaMelo Ball that apparently some prospects don't want to play next to. But that's kind of the reporting on Bailey. Like he clearly wants to go to specific destinations. I think based on the reporting on where he would like to, you know, force his way to, Washington makes sense. So, you know, if you told me a week ago, Ace Bailey, you know, I would say, what is the percentage on Bailey falling to six? I'd say maybe 10%, probably less. And now I'm sitting here saying 75% chance that Ace Bailey is available at six, just based on the reports that I've seen, the lack of pre-draft workouts. And a lot can change, right? There could be last minute workouts and stuff, but nothing yet. And if you ask me now, I'd say that's a big development in terms of reporting with Bailey. I mentioned Troy Halliburton earlier. It's my guy, Wizards Insider. He's been plugged in. So I've seen a lot of people question his credibility. Like Troy knows what he's talking about. He is plugged in. He has sources within the team. So you can choose to believe him or not. I'm going to, because I trust Troy. But Troy reported that the Wizards had individual workouts with Trey Johnson, Jeremiah Fears, and Con Knipple. Fears was held apparently at Georgetown so they could have it secretive so no one could see. Apparently, he has fans in the Wizards front office. Same with Johnson, who has apparently been shooting the lights out and killing in pre-draft workouts, which is not a surprise to me. He's three on my board. Knipple, individual workout there as well with the Wiz. I'm sure they like Knipple. I don't know if that's the swing that they're looking for necessarily, in the top six. But nonetheless, they apparently, according to Troy, had individual workouts. Derek Queen, Troy said, had a group workout, which you can take from that what you will. But if you're having individuals for all of these guys projected in the top five, top six, and Derek Queen, who's slipping on some draft boards, has a group workout, I think that their interest in him, you know, based on that, is significantly less than a Fears or a Johnson or a Knipple. Because if they really liked him, I would assume they had him for a one-on-one individual. And based on Troy's reporting, they didn't. And they could always have him in for a last-second workout before the draft. There's still 4 days before by the time I'm recording this, but that could all change. And that's Troy's reporting. In terms of other prospects in this range and what I'm hearing or what other reports are indicating is that the Hornets really like VJ Edgecombe. His floor, I've heard, is four. I would assume if I did a mock draft right now, I'd tell you Philly takes him at three. Apparently he had a good workout there. They think he's a good kid, good athleticism. The shot has a way to go, but he fits pretty well on its contending team. Like Philly can kind of plug him in on the wing anywhere. So I would assume Philly takes him there. And I think unless the Wizards trade up to like four or maybe even three, if they really like him, they're not going to get VJ Edgecombe. So you could probably take him off your board for the Wizards. I'd be pretty surprised if he falls to six. So I'd assume Philly takes him there, but if not, Charlotte will take him. I've also, like I said, heard that Trey Johnson's been killing it in terms of shooting and all that and pre-draft workouts, interviewed well. Con Knipple worked out with the Utah Jazz. He said he had a Zoom call set up with Philly. I've heard his floor is eight, so I doubt he falls past that again. While the Wizards might like him and he's a really talented prospect, they might be aiming for a higher ceiling in that range than Knipple. And I certainly think a guy like Bailey and Fears have higher ceilings than Knipple. In terms of other reports, Jake Fisher reported, this was about a week ago, that the teams believed the Wiz were looking to maybe leapfrog the Jazz into the top five. Again, that would make sense if they have a guy that they've circled and they really like him. You know, Will Dawkins has shown he's not afraid to trade up for anybody. He did it with Blaw. He did it with Bob Carrington. He did it with Keyshawn George. So like, he's willing to pay the price if he really can get value back and also likes the prospect that he's getting. And so I could definitely see a trade up, and we'll talk more about that later in the show. The sideline also reported that Malawak worked out for the Jazz. He visited the Wizards. I don't know if he worked out for the Wizards, but I read a report that he visited the Wizards. I also want to talk about my guy, Grant Afseth. And I'm sure if you follow NBA Central on Twitter, you saw the aggregated post, but it was basically an excerpt from Grant's article saying that the Wizards have contacted the Spurs in regards to the number two pick, which, you know, would be to draft Dylan Harper, and that there were some surprising names thrown out there. I mean, I could assume that's probably Bilal Coulibaly with the French connection, and the friendship with Wemby. You know, maybe it's even like Bob Carrington or Keyshawn George. Like, no matter what it is, I think it's too steep of a price, and I really like Harper as a prospect, but I just don't think he's that much better than a guy that you might be able to get at six. Like, especially if Bailey falls to you at six. I think Harper's a much better prospect, but not someone that I'd be willing to trade Bilal Coulibaly up to get, you know. And some people would be like, you got to get your star. You have a bunch of like good players, but you need a great one. You're not going to go anywhere with these good players. I disagree. You know, they're only a year in, most of them 2 years in. Like, let them develop. I'm not trading one of the last two draft years of picks to go up and get Harper. I'm not doing that. But Grant did reach out to me and was basically like, they aggregated it and they forgot to include the notable part in that all of those offers were shut down. They were basically saying, you know what, thanks for your offer, but we're not going to do it. And so I think that's important. You know, the Wizards are doing their due diligence. I'm sure they're looking at moves to be aggressive. But in terms of the traction to number two, I think that that's not going to happen. So I wouldn't get your hopes up on that. And that's kind of the reports and all of the draft buzz that I've compiled about some of the top prospects as of now. And I'm recording this a bit early. I'm recording this on Saturday night. So, you know, a lot could come out after. And if it does, maybe I'll add in some stuff later. But nonetheless, like that's kind of the buzz that's been circling around. You can take from it what you will. You can call it a smoke screen if you want. But that's what I've compiled. Now moving forward, I want to get into my big board at number six, because like I could go through my entire big board, but this is the Wizards podcast. This is a Wizards pre-draft preview. I want to talk everything Wizards. And so you have number six, and yes, they could trade up, they could trade back, and I'll get into some of that later. But I'm going to talk about this big board at number six as if they're going to stay put, as if the top five picks stay put. And so where I'm looking at now is basically this is where I'm at minus Flag and Harper, because I know for sure that they're going to go. So if you ask me at six, taking those guys out, who – in an ideal world, I would prefer falls to Washington. It's Trey Johnson, you know, the 40-plus percent from three at Texas in an SEC. That was a really tough conference leading them to the tournament. You know, just basically carrying that offense on his back. A really good shooter, one of the best, if not the best, in the draft. Somebody that I think you could plug and play pretty quickly. Somebody that has apparently had really good pre-draft workouts. So, in an ideal world, that's the guy that falls. I give it maybe like a 5% chance that he's there at six. So I doubt that happens. Same goes for Edgecombe. Like I have him right after Johnson on that board. Really athletic wing that I think could be a good defender in the NBA. If the shot starts to fall, he could be a good wing as well to put anywhere. You know, I feel like he's a guy that can kind of fit anywhere. And so, you know, I just buy his upside and his potential there and kind of put him in there behind Trey Johnson. But I doubt that they are there, right? Like if you had to have me guess, I would assume that Edgecombe goes three to Philadelphia. I would assume that Trey Johnson goes four to Charlotte. And if not there, then he certainly goes five to Utah. If Kanipo goes four. So like I don't foresee any pathway to either of those guys falling. Like I mentioned with Edgecombe earlier, I think if Philly doesn't take him at three, you know, Houston, the Hornets turn that draft card in so quickly to take him at four from all I've heard. So those guys would be ideal, but I really don't think there's a good chance that they fall. And so now you're sitting at 5/6 if you're the Wizards. And I think this is a good spot for them, right? Because let's say that Ace Bailey doesn't get drafted at number three. Let's say he doesn't get drafted by the Hornets at number four. The Wizards are sat there at six, and you have a 100% chance of either drafting Ace Bailey or Jeremiah Fears. I've heard the Wizards are very high on Fears, and I understand the Wizards have Jordan Poole, and Fears is probably a similar player to Poole. Like, why would you draft Fears? If you haven't listened to any of these pods, sure, but if you have, you understand that my take on this is you draft the best player available. Like, this team has so many needs that you're not just going to draft plug-and-play guys like you're the Sixers and you can contend next year. You need talent, and I think Fears is talented enough. And everyone's saying he turns the ball over too much. He can't shoot the ball. He's too small. Like, that's said by a lot of people about a lot of smaller guards that come into the league, but I really like his reads in the pick and roll. Again, he's only 18 years old. Like, again, he should be a freshman in college next year, and he's going to be starting NBA games. So there is a long ways to go, obviously, as a point guard, but I'm still going to be very happy if the Wizards land a guy like Fears. But I think that realistically, And from what I've been hearing from talking to a lot of people that have been plugged into the situation, is that the Wizards are realistically between four guys at six. It's Johnson, Edgecombe, Bailey, Fears, and they're gonna have a chance to draft one of those four, which is why I wouldn't move back. I wouldn't move up. I think that the Wizards need to take talent, and even if Brooklyn sat there and says, "Hey, here's 19 and eight, and I want to move up and get Bailey again," that doesn't do enough for me. Like, I'm taking Ace Bailey pretty quickly if he falls. You just can't pass on that talent. We'll talk. I don't want to get too caught up in trades, but if you had to ask me, you know, that first tier at six would be Trey Johnson, VJ Edgecombe, then Ace Bailey, then Jeremiah Fears. And as big of a Fears fan as I am, I just think that you can't pass on talent like Ace Bailey. And I will say, like, I tweeted out Ace's highlights from his 39 points on 16 of 29 from the field game against Indiana on the road last year. And if you look at the quotes and replies like I did, it's either number one, Ace Bailey is the worst player I've ever seen. He can't get past these college defenders on Indiana. He's taking only tough shots. And the other people are like, yeah, but he made over 50% of them. Like, he was getting tough buckets. Imagine what he can do with a better handle, with NBA, you know, type development, with more separation, and he's going to be a star. And it's very, he's probably one of the most polarizing, if not the most polarizing, top prospects that I've seen in a while. But I buy it. You know, I obviously understand the concerns, especially the red flags of the pre-draft process, but I don't think that's Bailey. I think that's his agent. So I'm not too concerned with that. I just think that he's just too talented to pass on at six, as much as I or the Wizards like Fears. And if the Wizards get to that point, I also wouldn't expect them to pass on Bailey. I think if Bailey falls to six, unless they're completely blown away with Fears or they're blown away with a trade back offer, I think you just got to submit the card and say, you know what, we're banking on the upside. And so that's kind of where I'd be at in that first tier. And realistically for the Wizards, I don't think I need to really go further, I guess, because one of those four players will be there and I will be happy if they get one of those four players. But if you go into other tiers, I would have Knipple there right after Fears. And that's mainly because I think he's the most talented of the people in that second tier. Now, I don't think the Wizards should draft him. I mean, it's pretty clear if you stay at six, like any of the guys in my first tier, one of them will be on the board. So you should take that guy. If I was drafting, I would take the whatever guy is left. But in that second tier, I think Knipple is the most talented. Now I do have someone here at six on this number six overall big board, and that's Noah Senge. Like I think that there is a realistic chance, and this is just me big braining this, like taking what I saw the last 2 years where the Wizards had, you know, Biloko Labali, after playing in the playoffs pretty late into June, had one opportunity to work out individually with the NBA team before the draft. He chose the Wizards because they were the highest that could possibly take him, I guess, in his range. And he killed it, and they traded up, and they took him at seven. And then you have Bob Carrington, who last year comes in, I think, the night before the draft, kills it in his workout. And the Wizards are like, you know what? We really want this guy. We have this trade with Denny Avdija. We're gonna move 22-year-old Denny on a great contract. And I don't know what the main reason for doing that was, but I think getting Bob Carrington at 14, which is probably the start of his draft range, was vital in making that move, and they draft Bob. And so I could foresee, you know, a guy like Asenge that's still playing deep into the playoffs, hasn't done any individual workouts. He comes in late and he's like, you know what, the Wizards are maybe the one team that I could convince early on to draft me. He does a workout with the Wiz, maybe he kills it, and I could see maybe the Wizards are like, you know what, Bailey is gone and we could do Fears, but Asenge killed it and we'll take him. Like, that would be shocking, but if I'd have a sleeper where the 1% chance in the 1% in me thinks that maybe the Wizards take a big swing, 6'10", barefoot, 7 foot wingspan for a Senge, French lanky forward, it kind of speaks Will Dawkins and the archetype he likes. So that's a kind of, you know, from left field type play that maybe the Wizards make, and maybe if they trade back, they could still take him because I think he'll be there towards the back end of the top 10 and probably outside that. But that is, if you had to ask me if there's a dark horse candidate, I'd probably say him based on the size and the measurements and the intangibles. But I still think it's Fears or Bailey. I think the Wizards, from what I've heard, are down to those four that I mentioned earlier, and it'll likely be Bailey or Fears based on what I've been reading up and hearing. So that's kind of my big board. I got Derek Queen right after Senge. Like I've seen him really falling to the back end of the lottery. I've seen reports that the Wizards could want to trade back into the lottery to take him, moving up a couple of spots from 18. I just think the value in Queen, like, I think he'll be there later, and I'd rather take somebody else at 6. And that doesn't mean that I don't like Queen. He's 8 on my board currently, but I would rather take Bailey or Fears, you know, over Queen at 6. And then in that next year, Malawa, you know, Yegor Demon, I like them. But again, I would rather take other players. It doesn't mean that I don't think those are two talented prospects. And certainly if they fall, I think the Wizards should be all over drafting one of them. But I just certainly wouldn't do it at 6. Again, like, to recap, if you ask me best case scenario, Johnson falls to 6. That's great. My realistic prediction here is the top 5 goes Flag, Harper, Edgecombe, Johnson, Bailey, and the Wizards take Fears at 6. Like, I think, you know, for all of the Ace Bailey not wanting to work out with the Jazz, I don't know if there's any truth to those rumors. And I also think the Jazz are the type of team to be like, you know what, F it, like, you're the best player here. We need some talent. We need to take a big swing to get this rebuild going, because they said they don't want to rebuild next year. They want to compete. Let's take a guy like Ace Bailey here. And I think that's realistic. If you wanted a bold prediction, and this is a really bold prediction, and this is going back into the trade route. But if you had to, you know, sit here and say, like, Greg, give me your Galaxy big brain prediction, here it is, okay? And you can clown me on this for the comments. This isn't, you know, what I think is going to happen, but bold prediction. Top 5 goes Flag, Harper, Edgecombe, Knipple, Johnson. And the Wizards sat there at 6 with a chance to take Ace Bailey. But the Nets come in and they say, you know what? We need Ace Bailey. We really want Ace Bailey. Here's 8 and 19 for Bailey. And then if I'm the Wizards, I'm like, okay, the Pelicans really like him too. You want to give me a better offer and see if there can be a type of bidding war, you know, when it comes to Bailey. And if not, you take 8 and 19 and you trade back to 8. You know, Nets take Bailey at 6. The Pels are apparently pretty high on Malawak. Maybe they take him there at 7. And then the Wizards get 19 and still get Fears at 8. Or if Fears go 7, they still get a Senge at 8 or Demon or Queen at 8. And then they use 19 and 18 to trade back up and take someone like Queen, like Demon, like a Senge, like, so whoever falls and that they really like. That's kind of like a bold prediction that I think could happen if they end up trading back. But if I'm them, I think Fears or Bailey, one of them will be there. And so I would just sit at 6. I wouldn't trade up either. Like, I really like Trey Johnson, but I wouldn't be willing to pay as much as I think it would cost to move up with Philadelphia and kind of make a play there. So that's kind of everything I guess you need to know in regards to the number 6 pick. There's certainly trade up and trade back scenarios that I could see. You know, Philly at 3, I think it's likely too expensive. It's only if the Wizards absolutely love one of Bailey, Edgecombe, and Johnson and think that they need to make a move up to get them. Charlotte, again, I've seen that they're reportedly open to a move back if Edgecombe is off the board. But again, I think they need talent. I think they'll take Trey Johnson if he's there. The Jazz, again, doubt that the Wizards swap with them. But I could foresee something like, you know, Bailey falls to 5 and the Jazz don't want him. And they got Brooklyn on the phone saying, hey, we'll move up from 8, 3 spots. Here's what we're going to give you. We can give you like 8, 19, and like 27, and we will move back, or we'll give you Cam Johnson and 8. Or I don't know what their value is to get a guy like Bailey, but if they really want him, they're on the clock. And then you got to go, if you're Utah, to Washington and say, hey, do you really want Bailey? Because he won't be there at 6. I have Brooklyn who's going to trade up. You need to give me a lot to move up and get him. Because I think Washington would be a more enticing offer to Utah if they don't want Bailey. You can only move back one slot. You still get to pick basically the guy you want, you know, considering you clearly don't want Bailey. He's on the clock and you're going to trade your pick. So I think, you know, they go to Washington. Maybe Washington's like, you know what? We have to make a move up for Bailey. We'll give you 6. We'll give you 40. We'll give you like 3 or 4 second round picks. Or maybe they'll give you the late 2026 first rounder that they got in the Reggie Jackson for Jared Butler trade from Philly. You know, there's a plethora of options, but I honestly think that's pretty realistic. If Bailey falls and Utah doesn't want him, he doesn't want Utah, maybe a bidding war with Washington, their hand is kind of forced, like what happened with Bilal, where Utah in that draft apparently was going to, you know, jump Washington to get Koulibaly. And so Indiana was like, hey, give me 2 seconds and your pick at 8 and then move up to 7 and take Bilal. And that was kind of the deal that happened. So I could foresee something like that happening where the Wizards give up a plethora of seconds or maybe a future first from another team. And I could foresee trades like that happening. Now, I don't see a big jump up into the top 3, top 4 for Washington, but a one jump up to maybe get Ace Bailey. That's something that I think could realistically happen if there's a bidding war between them and Brooklyn. And maybe even the Pelicans, who apparently like Bailey as well. In terms of trading back, again, like possibilities mainly Brooklyn. I really don't think the Wizards would like to go any farther back than 8, certainly. But if you're the Wizards, Brooklyn, it has 8, 19, 26, and 27. They have a bunch of future ones. You know, if you're really looking to take someone top 10 and then move back up and take another guy late lottery, having 18 and 19 is certainly a good package if you're looking to move up to get, a Derek Queen in the late lottery, or Yegor Demon, a Noah Senge, somebody like that. So that's the realistic trade option I see with Brooklyn, maybe, is picking up 8, but also getting 19 and 26, 27, some of those. But I realistically think the trades are maybe a little overblown. The most realistic one is a bidding war for 5 to get Bailey, and maybe the Wizards just slightly edge out Brooklyn's offer. It's just move up one spot. Utah only moves back one spot, give up a couple seconds, and get Ace Bailey. I could see something like that happening based on Utah Dawkins being aggressive and trading up in a lot of drafts in the past. Moving forward, I gave you my big board for 6. I'm going to give you my big board for 18 now. It starts with Ace Anduwal out of Georgia. This is a big man that I realistically think could play the 4 or the 5 in the pro level. I think he'd complement Sarr as somebody that can rebound better than Sarr, somebody that can kind of pick up Sarr where he might have faltered, especially as a rookie. I think that'd be a pretty good combo. You know, Newell is 14 on my board. If he's there at 18, I certainly think the Wizards should take him. I have him slightly edging out Thomas Sorber, but if the Georgetown product is there, bruising center that I think has a way more polished interior game than Sarr does. Showed the ability to shoot the ball, but I don't foresee him to be a knockdown shooter. But it's somebody that I think could play alongside a guy like Sarr, certainly. So if he's there, I'd be high on him. Rashear Fleming out of St. Joe's, really, really good wingspan and height for a forward in the league. Tremendous shooter, shot 39% from 3 on a high volume at St. Joe's. Just kind of the typical prototype of a 4. I compare him to a guy like Naz Reid, who's had a lot of success in the NBA. So I'm pretty high on them. That's kind of my first tier of guys that if they're there at 18 and the Wizards, I think will trade up from this spot. But if they don't, and one of those 3, forwards / centers are there, I would like the Wizards to take a crack at, especially considering the Wizards' lack of depth down low. Like if they let Rashawn Holmes walk for pretty much only $250,000 this offseason. That leaves them with Alex Sarr and Tristan Vukcevic, and Vukcevic is still on the two-way deal. So you need some depth. You need, centers, especially if you're moving on this rebuild or forwards. And so I think that would make sense there at 18. That next range, I got Drake Powell out of UNC. I think he's a prototypical 3-and-D guy. I'm a lot higher on Powell than most, but just really like what he provides to an NBA team. Might not be the flashiest pick, but every team needs 3-and-D guys, especially on the wing. The more depth you can have there, the better. And I think Powell has shown an ability to be that type of 3-and-D guy. Nolan Traer out of France. Like, this is a projected top 3, top 5 pick at the beginning of the season. Didn't have a great year, but ended it shooting the ball way better than I thought he would. And so I would buy the defense that he brings, the possible offensive upside with Traer. Cedric Coward, certainly, I based on all reports, he could go top 10. He's probably a lottery pick, so I doubt he's there. I'm a little less high on him than some, but he apparently can't miss. He's a really good shooter, and the development has been pretty astounding throughout college. So definitely someone that I would bank on if he's there to take. I got Neek Clifford, Noah Penda, Danny Wolf, Colin Murray-Boyle is kind of rounding out that spot. That's just kind of my take on some of those prospects that could be there in that range. But if I had to guess, like one of Newell, Fleming, or Sorber should be available at 18. And based on reports, I think Troy reported this as well, that the Wizards have been looking to move up from 18 to kind of get back into the late lottery. And if a guy like Queen falls or Demon falls, like I could see the Wizards being very aggressive in moving up to take one of those players. I think best case scenario, right, is like somehow, some way, Queen, Demon, Sorber, Senge, one of those four just like has a draft fall and they're there at 18. We saw this just 2 years ago with Cam Whitmore, where everyone was saying, you know what, well, the Wizards would be great if he fell to them, but he's going top five easy. And then he fell out of nowhere. And I'm pretty sure the Rockets ended up taking him at 18. And so, you know, a guy like Derek Queen, who some think could go in the top 10, some maybe right outside it, if he begins to fall because of his poor combine performance or he's not doing good in pre-draft workouts, and he's there at 18, like that's an easy pick. If Demon falls, which I doubt he will, it's an easy pick. And so I think one of those guys could end up falling to the Wiz, best case scenario. But if they don't, maybe the Wizards are like, you know what, we need to trade up. Realistic expectation, like I think a guy like Thomas Sorber could fall to the Wizards here at 18. And I think if he does, that'd be a great pick. So him or Fleming would probably be my prediction there. I think that they are, you know, pretty good Dawkins type players that would fit this rebuild pretty well. And so that's kind of my big board at 18. Not as in depth as six, because we just don't hear as much buzz about these guys than we do six. And that's because the draft is way more structured in the beginning, where you kind of know where guys are likely going to fall. And then it's kind of a free-for-all outside the top 10 and outside the lottery with trades and movebacks and all that movement. You don't really know who's going to be drafted where. And so, you know, not as much depth, obviously about 18, but there's certainly going to be talent there if the Wizards don't move up. My guess would be that they try to, and maybe they do crack back into the lottery to take someone that falls, but certainly wouldn't be mad if they stayed put and had a pretty simple draft at 6 and 18 and just, you know, kind of took whatever talent would fall to them, because I think there will be talent there. Getting back into some of the trade buzz, like I mentioned, there's not many potential suitors in terms of trade ups and trade backs. Like, the trade up market is pretty dead, in my opinion. I really don't see that unless it's a slight move up with Utah to kind of outbid Brooklyn and get Bailey. Trade backs, possibly Brooklyn. If they wanted to trade back into the lottery, it's pretty tough. Like, San Antonio is one of the teams that I think wants to contend next year, have some expiring salaries. They're sat there at 14. They weren't the best shooting team last year. They still have a decent bit of open roster spots, and especially on the bench with shooting needs. So again, I think Kispert is the most likely veteran to get traded. Troy Halliburton, you know, supports that claim. I just realistically think that if there's going to be a move, one that would make sense would be, you know, 18 and Kispert for 14 and like Harrison Barnes at $19 million expiring salary. Kispert's on a decent contract for the next 4 years. Maybe the Spurs want Kispert to be part of their young core. Certainly gives them shooting. And it's not like I'm not being biased here, because I know Corey Kispert he's a good shooter. He had a bad year last year, but in the right system, I think he can get back to the 38, 39 plus, 40 plus percent from three. And I'm sure the Spurs, if they make that trade, would be one of the teams that would be willing to buy into that possible upside for Kispert. So like 18 and Kispert for a four spot move up, you get 14 and Barnes's $19 million expiring deal. I think the Spurs would do that too if they really did like Kispert. So that's a deal that I think could make sense. And the Wizards get back to 14. They can take someone that falls into the lottery. But in terms of other slots, like Atlanta, I don't think would make too much sense in that back end of the lottery. I think they still need talent. And I don't really know what the Wizards could send them to really, you know, entice a trade. You know, I've seen a lot of people saying that Houston pick at 10 because they're another team that's contending. I think maybe they trade that back to Phoenix. I think they certainly will if that's where KD goes. And I've had to guess, I think that is where KD will go. But again, like I've seen Kispert in 18 for 10. That makes no sense. Like the contracts don't really align with the Wizards and the Rockets for Kispert. So like I would probably take that out of the equation. I think if you're looking at a move up, you know, 18 to 14, giving up Kispert and taking on Barnes' expiring deal, that's the trade that I think makes sense, or something along those lines. There's also the possibility the Wizards get into a multi-team trade. Like Kevin Durant trade, I've heard, is probably going to be a multi-team, you know, 3-4 team trade to make contracts work. The Wizards certainly have cap space to take on bad contracts. Maybe in order to do that, they get a slight move up and get someone that they like. We'll see what happens. But that's certainly a spot that I think they could be at, where they could maybe move back up. In terms of like their trade assets, if you're looking at who could be dealt at the draft, if you're the Wizards, like Poole, Kispert, Smart, Middleton, Bay are kind of your veterans that the contending teams might covet, especially at the draft. I would assume, like I mentioned, that Kispert is the most likely to get dealt. I don't foresee Poole getting traded unless the deal is unbelievable. Smart, maybe. Middleton, no. The contract's just too bad. Bay, I think the Wizards would probably like to see what they have in him and build that value up. And other teams too, because he's a guy that hasn't played in over a year. He's coming off an ACL injury. They probably want to see more than, you know, of Bay before they make a deal. So I doubt that happens. So again, Kispert, maybe. And if anyone else were to get traded, I think it'd be pretty surprising. But again, I'll remind you that nobody thought that Denny Avdia would get moved last year at the draft. And the Wizards were like, you know what, we got two ones. We can get Bob Garrington. We're going to have to take it. And that's kind of what they ended up doing. So like, I don't think Jordan Poole is going to get traded, but I could be, you know, loading up to watch the draft at 7:30 and I get the Shams notification that he's gone and he's to another team. The Wizards got, you know, a decent haul. So I would keep your expectations open. I would enter the draft knowing that this front office could be unpredictable at times, and who, you know, no matter who you think is untouchable or couldn't be dealt, could certainly be dealt on draft night. So that's kind of their trade assets. In terms of additional first-round picks, if they're looking to move up, they have their own. The next year's top eight protected. They can't technically trade that, but it is probably going to, you know, stay with the Wizards. They have the 2026 first-round pick that is the worst of OKC, LAC, and Houston. A 2030 first-round pick via Portland, and they have a 2030 top 20 protected first-round pick via Golden State. They also have pick swaps via Phoenix in 26, 28, and 30. But I don't think that you can trade pick swaps unless you also trade the pick along with it, is what I've read. So those are like what they have in terms of assets, but I don't know about tradable assets. And then second round picks, like, this took me a while to count and I could very well be wrong, but based on my account, they have 11 through 20, 31. And if not 11, then maybe it's like 12 or it's 10, but it's somewhere in that range. And so I think that they would be very willing to trade some of those second round picks to move up a couple spots and get their guy. So that's just kind of the ammo they have on top of the veterans that they could deal and the contracts they could take back if they're looking to make some draft trades. And it's some enticing assets. And I think the Wizards would be completely, you know, comfortable maybe trading one of those excess ones if they could really jump up and get the prospect that they so covet in the top part of the draft. Again, I could go into some names at pick 40. I just did a mock draft. Kobe Brea out of Kentucky shot 43% from three in the SEC. He fell to the Wizards at 40. I selected him. I think that would be tremendous value there. A guy like Cam Jones out of Marquette, I'd be pretty happy with the Wizards taking, you know, somebody with the offensive ability and the talent that Cam certainly has. Sion James out of Duke. Maybe Tyrese Proctor. Like, there are certainly going to be some names at 40. And if I had to guess, the Wizards will trade this pick. But there will be talent to be had. There will be guys in that range that Washington could certainly covet, you know, especially in a deep class like this. But the last couple of years, they've moved that pick. And especially last year, moving the second to move up two spots in the late first round, get Keyshawn George. So I think they're going to be aggressive with the stockpile of picks and assets they have. If I had to guess, there's probably like a less than 25% chance that they pick at 6, 18, and 40 and like nowhere else. There's no movement. But hopefully this is kind of a good summation of what to expect for the Wizards come Wednesday night's draft. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It should be on ESPN on Wednesday, the 25th. The second round, again, is separate. So that will be the next day. And I think that actually starts sometime in the afternoon, pretty early, if I recall. But that'll be the next day on the 26th, Thursday. And so be on the lookout for that. I'm going to do I haven't done Twitter Spaces in forever, and I feel like I owe that to Wizards fans. So I'm going to do one the night before the draft. I think probably around like 7 p.m., 7:30 makes the most sense. But most likely 7 on my Twitter. And that's just going to be an open forum for draft discussion. So anybody that wants to come up and share their draft thoughts, who the Wizards should take at 6, 18, 40, what trades that they should do, what they think about Bailey, fears, all that, open discussion for as long as I can keep it going, to kind of preview the draft there and talk about the Wiz with Wizards fans and Wizards Twitter people there. So be on the lookout for that if you want to participate or just listen. And so I think this will probably be the last pod before. It's going to be a preview pod. I will have a pod after round one. I will also have a pod after round two, kind of recapping the Wizards draft and kind of my takeaways grading each pick, grading their draft overall. So be on the lookout for that. But that's probably going to wrap it up for this episode. There's a lot that could happen between now and Wednesday. And certainly by the time this is released and Wednesday, there's going to be a lot of buzz and a lot of reports saying this guy doesn't want to go here. This guy wants to go here. There's draft workouts here and here, trade buzz here and here. So this team is starting to certainly pick up. I think Kevin Durant getting traded will be the first domino to probably fall. And then there will be dominoes that fall after that. And so I would certainly be on the lookout for that and kind of how that affects the whole draft landscape to begin with. But if you had to, you know, have me, and I'll end the episode with this. If you ask me right now, you know, Greg, if you had to guess who are the Washington Wizards taking at number six on Wednesday, I would say Jeremiah Fierce. Again, like Ace Bailey could be there and that would make sense, but I'll see it when I believe it. And I certainly think if Bailey's there, even if you like Fierce, you have to take Ace Bailey. But if you had to have me guess, like I think Bailey will still somehow go in the top five. Fierce will be there at six, and the Wizards are going to just kind of take him because from all I've heard, they like him. So Fierce would be my prediction there at six. I don't foresee a trade up or a trade back. I think the Wizards like the talent that they have there. From what I've been hearing, they're down to those four guys and Johnson, Edgecombe, Fierce, and Bailey for who they want at number six. And the math works. Like one of those guys will be there at six. So if I'm them, I stay put unless I'm blown away by an offer and I take whoever falls to me at that spot. I think you'd come away from the draft pretty happy considering that you got shafted by the draft lottery and you didn't get a top pick that you probably should have gotten based on how much losing you had. But nonetheless, that's a topic for another discussion. You know, coming away, certainly with Bailey at six after that fall would be an unbelievable draft. And if you even get Fierce there, great value. But hopefully you come away from this episode knowing everything you need to know about the Wizards and their draft. Again, based on any of the takes that I had or any of the reports I talked about, feel free to let me know in the comments what you think, who you want to draft at six, who you like at 18, trades that you would probably propose. But feel free, the comments are at open forum. My DMs are always open. So feel free to let me know how you're feeling about the Wizards entering Wednesday night's draft. But again, it's going to do it for this episode. Hope you learned something about the Wizards that you can take into Wednesday's draft. Thanks for listening as always. Go Wiz.